Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. I believe we may be having a little technical difficulties. I'm not sure. If for some reason you cannot hear me, please feel free to dial one on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you are having some technical difficulties. But again, I welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me. We're going to get right into the word on tonight. This is going to be a brief word, but it's going to be a word nevertheless. And I was thinking, what would I share? Lord, what would you have me to share? Not what I would share, but God, what do you want to share? Because I need to know what God is saying to me. And in the process of what God is saying to me, if I could share with you and it could bless you, then glory to God. But I need to hear what he's saying to me. And the word that kept coming in my spirit today, this evening, as I prepare for Thursdays, as I always do, is rest. The word that came to me is rest. So I titled tonight's message as Seventh Day. And if any of you have read the word of God, did you know that the seventh day is the day that the Lord rested from all his creation? And as I began to study for this, some things just really began to stick out because, you know, I just thought, hey, when you know the Lord every day, it's the Sabbath day. Every day should be holy. Every day. And that's not true. As I began to study, he was specific. God was specific in in the day that he chose to bless. Now, he created from days 1 through 6, but he blessed day 7, and it was important. There's importance to that. It's important for us to get rest. So we're going to go through that all tonight, and hopefully we all will get a revelation of we need to rest more. And I believe that a lot of our sickness and our disease and our discomfort and our anxiety and our stress and all the things that we deal with on a day-to-day dealing with this world and the cares of this world, maybe we're not resting properly. There's a proper way to rest. Amen. And so we're going to speak on that tonight. First of all, let me go before we begin, before I open in prayer, I want to go to the Word. And so we're going to just go on over to a familiar scripture. We're going to go over to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And I'm going to start at verse 1. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Father, we thank you for your word on tonight. Lord, we just pray that you will have your way, that you would give us the knowledge and the revelation that you need for us to get. Father God, that your word would penetrate the hearts of your people and that it would penetrate our minds. Father God, that we would have a better understanding of rest and why it's required, Father God. Father God, there has to be some importance to it, because it was part of your original commandments, Father, those that you've written with your own hands. So, Father God, help us to get an understanding on tonight of why you require us to rest. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. So, tonight's message is about rest. And as I was sharing when we first came into the show, is that I believe that we don't know how to rest. And I believe that we're not taking advantage of rest, and that's some of the reasons that we're going through some of the hardships and some of the breakdowns that we're going through, because we don't know how to rest. And I would be the first to admit I have not mastered the art of resting. And as a result of that, what happens is we begin to get wore down. We begin to get burnt out. We're not any good to God or ourselves when we haven't had our proper rest, when we haven't been replenished and restored. When we just keep going and keep going and keep going, we're breaking our bodies down, mind, body, and spirit. We're breaking it down. We're not at our maximum capacity. There's a certain capacity that all of us have to accomplish everything that we're supposed to accomplish in this earth. If you remember, I told you, he did everything he's going to do from day 1 through 6. On the seventh day, he rested. It says it in his word in Genesis. So if he rested, that means that everything that you need to be all that he's called you to be in this earth is already done. Amen? It's already done. So if it's already done, then there's nothing more that's going to be done. So we have to begin to be able to get ourselves in position. A lot of times we can't even receive because we're not even rested. And what happens when you not rested? You get tired, you get fatigued, you get discombobulated, your equilibrium gets off, you get moody, you get agitated, you get frustrated. How many of us could really perform in excellence when we're not resting? We can't. We can't, and that's why it's important. And why did God tell us that? We know that he created everything. He did everything in 6 days. He created, and then on the seventh day, he rested. But there's more to that. It's more to why he commanded that from us, that on the seventh day, he needed us to rest. And we'll get into the seventh day because everybody got their version about what the seventh day is. And the word of God is the word of God. And like you said, his word doesn't change. You can't add to it or take away from it. It is what it is. But the reason why God, there was reasons why he, for this rest, not just, okay, I need to get some rest and go to sleep. But one of the reasons why he established this day of rest was to establish his sovereignty in the earth. Because he knew, I'm sure God knows everything, right? So he knew, you know, all the various things that was going to take place in the earth. He knew the confusion. He knew, you know, he knew some people are going to think that Sabbath is on this day, and some people are going to think the Sabbath is on that day. And he knows, you know, the enemy is, anything the enemy got planned, it's not like he's fooling God, because God created even him. Amen. So he knew that. So he, one of the reasons for that was to establish his sovereignty, God's sovereignty in the earth. The second reason that he established the Sabbath was to, it was for everyone. It wasn't just a Jewish holiday. You know, anybody who's a believer, anybody who has received him, the Sabbath day is for you. And it doesn't, that has nothing to do with being Jewish or following a Jewish tradition. It was for everybody, the Sabbath day, because he created everybody. Amen. And he created them Jews and Gentiles, right? For everybody. The third thing was, is that it was not just about keeping any day holy. And we hear that. I got caught up in that. You know, so I repent, Father God, but I got caught up in that. Like, why do we have to worry about whether it's Sunday or Saturday? Why are people even pushing the issue? You know, every day is holy. Every day it should be a day of worship. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's true. Every day could be a day of worship. But there was only one day that God blessed, and it was the Sabbath day. And so that was a day that he set aside. That was the day that he put into order, right? So we can't go around. That's just like somebody telling me, you know, my birthday is July the 20th, but somebody's going to tell me, well, it doesn't matter if we celebrate your birthday July the 20th or acknowledge your birthday on July the 20th or we acknowledge your birthday on June the 12th. I mean, what kind of sense does that make? My birthday is July the 20th. That's when I should get the acknowledgments of happy birthday is on July the 20th. Amen. So this is his day. This is what he set aside. And we can't go changing his day and we'll make it what's convenient for us. Well, guess what? Saturday's not convenient for me, so I'm going to make mine on Wednesday. We do it, but we're even in us doing it, we're not in order. Amen? It would just be like anything else. Yes, God's grace is sufficient, but it's like anything else. Any other commandment that you're not keeping, still sin. Whether you keep it or not, it's still in disobedience. Sin is disobedience to God. So when we are not doing what God has asked us to do, then we're in disobedience. And this is not a show for condemnation. This is just a show of revelation, hopefully. Hopefully, when we walk away from here, we will have a better understanding of why we need to rest, both spiritually and physically, because there's benefits for both, spiritually and physically. The fourth was, we know with the third that it can't just be any day. It has to be the Sabbath day. Number four, the question about knowing what's the true, Coach D, what's the true Sabbath day? You know, we've been traditionally, we go to church, we you know, do everything we're going to do. If we want to call it rest or whatever. Traditionally, we've been doing that on Sundays. And I don't think there's a certain day that you have to go and fellowship. There's not. There's nothing in the commandment. There's nothing in the word that says you have to go with fellowship on certain days. So if you want to fellowship on Sunday, guess what? Praise God. That's a good day to fellowship. That's a good day to come off of your Sabbath and go and be among your brothers and sisters in Christ. Excellent day. But the Sabbath day is Saturday. We know the Sabbath day is Saturday as Christians and as believers because guess what? We acknowledge it in every other way but how we worship. We'll acknowledge it because we acknowledge Good Friday. Everybody want to be off of work on Good Friday. And Good Friday is when Christ died. And we acknowledge it with Resurrection Sunday. Some of you call it Easter Sunday, but that's the resurrection. So we acknowledge it on those days, and we have to know that the Sabbath is Saturday, because we have to know that if he died on Friday, and remember, if you remember the women that followed him, there was a, in the, you know, in the Jewish culture, there was a preparation that would go on when somebody died. There were certain things they had to do. There were certain ways they had to wrap their body and preserve their body. There was oils and ointments and things they had to do. There was a whole process. You know, they didn't have embalming fluid back then like we got now. You know, we're going to get somebody embalmed and that to preserve them for forever or whatever. They didn't have that. So they had to go through another process to, you know, I guess reserve the body and make sure that it's not smelling and make sure it was wrapped properly. So if you remember, if he died on Friday, the next day the women couldn't. It was Sabbath, so they had to rest. So they couldn't do anything. They couldn't go get his body. They couldn't do anything because that was the Sabbath day and they had to rest. So then they rose and went on Sunday. If you remember, they went on Sunday. And when they got there on Sunday, I'm paraphrasing, he wasn't there. He had already, he was risen. He was the risen Christ, amen? So he wasn't there on Sunday when they went. So that time between Friday when he died and Sunday when he rose again, that Saturday was Sabbath. It was a day of rest. And so we hear, we see this in the Bible. We're reading this in the Bible. We are acknowledging certain things, but we just don't acknowledge it in its fullness. And so we just want to understand that. I'm not here again to condemn anyone. If you don't believe it or you do believe it, that's between you and God. It has nothing to do with me, but I'm just sharing some facts, sharing some biblical facts with you as it pertains to this day of rest that we're talking about. These are facts, and I'm just laying the facts on the table because really what I want to get to is not about the facts at all. It's about our rest and why it's important to us, and it's a gift from God. And we want to make sure that we are, you know, that we're receiving this gift, that we're receiving it and that we're operating in it. Why? So that we could begin to be more productive, so we could begin to see the manifestation of the things that God has called us to. There is certain power. There is certain authority that God has given us as his children that we're not fully operating in. You know, we're not fully operating in because we're not taking our rest. We're not taking the gift that he's given us. You know, if somebody gives you a gift, you don't want to just push it to the side. You want to be able to receive the gift. But more importantly, to just receiving the gift, the goal would be that you use the gift. And there's so many gifts that God has given us that we're not operating in, that we're not using. You know, some of us have opened up the box and it's just there. We know it's a gift, it's there, but we haven't used it. And this gift of rest is something that I think that we just take for granted and we don't use it. And it's something that could benefit us, but we're not being benefited by it because we're not operating in it. Amen. So we're going to understand tonight, again, not about condemnation, not about when you know, celebrate the Sabbath, but it's going to be about that rest that God has commanded us to. Number five. We want to see the reason for number five of why he's commanded us this. So we understand that the first and foremost was God established his sovereignty. The second was the Sabbath is made for all of us who are believers. The third is not about just keeping any day, but it's a specific day. It's the Sabbath, the day that God blessed. The fourth was, you know, just establishing the fact there should be no questions about when the Sabbath day is. And I've established that through what we know through Scripture. You know, we know that he died. We know that that was a Friday. And then we know that he rose, and it was the first of the week. So we know that Sunday's the first day of the week. It says that in the Word, that he, you know, that he rose on the first day of the week, and it was a Sunday. So I'm establishing that. Just getting out some facts really quickly here. So number five is the Sabbath is not, it's not a memorial. It's not a memorial for the deliverance out of Egypt. It wasn't to be a memorialized for the resurrection. It wasn't meant for that. Again, you have to remember, going back to Genesis, all this other stuff was in Exodus. But we're talking about from the very beginning. What was the purpose of it from the very beginning? And in the beginning, as I wrote, as I read in Genesis, and I read to you all in Genesis 2, 1 through 3, is that, on, you know, God was creating. On day one, he was creating this. On day two, he created this. So he was creating all the way up through day six. All the way up through day six. And after he created everything that he created, he looked at it. And then he said he rested on the seventh day. He took his rest. So we understand that that's one of the purposes, is that he took his rest. And we do know this, last but not least, is we know that the Sabbath day will be celebrated through eternity. When that great day comes, guess what? We're still going to be celebrating the Sabbath day. We will be taking our rest, even though we won't be doing nothing but worshiping and praising God, but we will be taking our rest. And we will, you know, it's going to be going on for eternity. And we will be celebrating it on the right day, because God knows what day that he intended and purpose for it. Amen. So I just want to go through some other things. I want us to understand rest. So we got the word part on it. We got the foundation. We got the word of God in Genesis. We understand why God commanded this. We got that down. It was establishing sovereignty. We got all those things down. So let's just get to what rest really means. And I want to be able to talk about it in the natural as well as in the spiritual, because they correlate. The spiritual and the natural correlate. And so we want to understand rest is important. See, we don't even understand the dynamics of rest, and when we're not resting, how it tears the body down. You know, what does rest really mean? When we say rest, what does that mean? Well, we could go into Webster and get some definitions of what rest means. Basically, rest means to cease work or movement in order to relax, refresh, or to recover. Rest is the instance or period of relaxing or ceasing to engage in strenuous or stressful activity. It's a place of peace of mind. You know, rest should bring about peace of mind. Rest should bring about freedom from anxiety and disturbances. It's a refrain from labor and exertion. That's rest. We understand that. If not all of it, some of it, we understand. So that's rest. Now, though we're talking about rest in the natural, there is a biblical rest. And so the biblical rest is defined as peace, ease, or refreshment. We know that the Bible speaks highly of rest. It's repeated throughout the Bible. It's multiple scriptures, and I don't want to go through all the scriptures, but there's multiple scriptures that's telling us about rest. It tells us about the creation of God and the seventh day being the day of rest, but it also tells us about resting in God, resting in the Lord. You know, you go to Exodus or Acts or 1 Corinthians, you know, Matthew. These are telling us about how to, you know, to rest. You know, how to rest in the Lord. And one of the ones that we all know and we've embraced is Matthew 11, 28 and 30, where it's telling us, come unto me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, who's tired, who's stressed, who's frustrated, you know, all the stuff, who's worried, you know, worried about what will be and what hasn't been, and all those things, you know. And his scripture is telling us to come to him. And then he tells us to take his, you know, take his yoke upon, for us to take his yoke and learn of him. Because he says he is meek and lowly in heart. So that's the scripture he's telling us, for his yoke is easy and his burdens are light. So he's telling us that's where we're supposed to go, you know, when we're resting in him. Even on that seventh day of resting, we should be resting in him. Even on that day, we should be resting in him. You know, that's the time. That's a good time. I mean, every day is a good time to get to know the word and get to know the Lord. But that's a good time for us to rest in him, to learn of him. You know, and how we learn of him, through his word. That's the time to shut down. And I know I've been guilty. These technology is the devil. But technology, I don't know about y'all. You know, many people, you remember back in the day, and I'm telling my age, you know, you got your newspaper in the morning. You got your cup of coffee, you got your newspaper, and you spend at least a good 15 minutes going through the newspaper, reading current events, you know, drinking your coffee, using the bathroom, whatever that thing was, and you had your newspaper. Who remember that? I don't even think they make newspapers anymore. But that was the thing. You seen your grandparents do it, you seen your parents do it, and then you did it, and now your kids don't even get a chance to do it. Why? Because they got cell phones. So what they do is the cell phone is kind of like their newspaper. You know, the cell phone is kind of like my newspaper. So when I get up, after I get up in the morning and get my things, the first thing I do is grab my phone and I'm going through seeing what the current events are, what's going on, what's the weather. You know, I'm going through just like it's a newspaper. But if we're not careful, this little thing can have us so distracted. It can have us so that we're not resting, because you can't rest in the stuff that you see on here. I mean, you see everything on here. Everybody's business, everybody's drama, whatever's going on in the world, who killed who. I mean, everything's on this little thing. And if we don't rest and take time away from it, it begins to be all-consuming. You remember I talked, whatever we give our attention to, that spirit will begin to live inside of you. And there's spirits on this phone. See, we think of spirits of people or the devil, but these phones are spirits. They drag us in. We're get consumed on them. I've heard people say, man, I got on that phone and I started scrolling. And before I know it, I've been on the phone for 3 hours. 3 hours checking emails, doing whatever, everything, your whole life is on this phone. You don't believe me? Leave the house and forget your phone at home. Many of us will turn back around. We could be halfway to work, but we will turn back around and come back and get this phone. Because why? We feel lost without it. We've been conditioned to it. It's an addiction. And I won't leave home without it. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what if my car break down? I need my phone. What did we do when we didn't have a phone? Amen? So, again, resting. Resting means to get away from all those things that could cause stress and anxiety. You know, resting is important. We talked about the biblical rest. But then, rest is vital. It's vital for our mind, our body, and our spirit. In a natural rest, when you think about it, we got a lot of mental health going on in the world today, a whole lot of mental health. But I don't know that we even have rest in this world today. I don't know that a lot of people are resting. People are working 6 and 7 days a week. You know, people can't, they got to work on weekends, they're not being able to take their rest, right? So they're not really resting. And now we wonder why people have mental illness and why people are stressed out and having strokes and carrying on. Because rest is vital to mental health. It increases our concentration and our memory. You know, think about it. We have, I'm not sure, we have something going on. I'm not sure what's going on. We're having some technology things. Again, if anyone is having any difficulties hearing me, just say so. But sorry about that. I just heard it sound like the system was going to shut down. But so it's important for increased concentration and memory, a healthy immune system, reduce stress, improve mood. And even metabolism, it's impossible to lose weight if you're not resting. There are certain things that go on when you're resting at night. When you get a good night's rest, your body is repairing. It's healing itself. Your muscles are healing themselves. You are actually at a point where your body is truly rejuvenating. It's refreshing. It's bouncing back. You know, if you have injuries, when you're resting, those things are being repaired, and so that's why it's vital for our body. If we're not getting our proper rest, we'll begin to see it. You know, you start beginning to see the bad, to be sluggish. You know, you begin to be lethargic. You can't concentrate. Poor memory fog. You know, your memory, you can't. It's a lot of things that begin to go on, and what is the indication of in most cases is your body's not getting its rest. And when your body's not getting its rest and you begin to see these things, it begins to introduce other things because now your immune system is down. When your immune system is down, you can't fight anything off. So you're going to be more subjected to sickness and disease and disorder in your body, the physical part of it, but the mental part of it, clarity. If you're not rested, it's hard to concentrate. If you're not rested, you're going to become irritable. You're going to become frustrated. It's going to be hard to grasp anything. It's going to be hard to take in anything. If you're trying to learn, you know, if you're trying to gain more knowledge, it's going to be hard to do that when you're not resting. So now you can see some of you are going through some things. You're frustrated. You're irritated. You can't seem to make the right decision. You feel like nothing's going your way. You're trying to understand what's going on. You feel like, okay, I'm doing everything I think I'm supposed to be doing right, and you're trying to figure out maybe you just need to rest. That sounds like an easy solution, right? Evidently, it's not real easy because most of us have a hard time doing it. It's just resting. When is the last time you had a day where you didn't have to get up at a certain time and you were just able to just kind of lounge around and relax and rest and not worry about anything and not have to take any phone calls or not have to open up your computer or open up your phone? When is the last time you've been able to just rest? Some people say, well, I can't sleep past a certain time of the day. Maybe you can't. But sometimes we just have to make ourselves be still. Just be still and rest. My spiritual mentor, he has a thing where he'll just sit and quiet. He won't scratch. He won't eat, you know, something. He just sits in silence and be still in the presence of God. Don't say nothing. It's not a conversation. It's just sitting still. And even God in his word said, be still and know that I am God. That means rest. Rest in me. Learn of me. Know that I'm God. Know that I got plans for you. There's things that I want to do for you in your life, but I can't do them if you can't receive. And it's hard for us to receive when we're not rested. It's hard for us to receive. It's hard for us to get the benefits. It's harder to be restored. We can experience true rest when we spend time in God's presence, when we spend time in prayer, and when we spend time reflecting. I'm going to repeat that. We could experience true rest when we spend time in God's presence, praying, or reflecting on his word. And when we're doing that, that's when we experience the true rest, and we'll be able to see it. We'll be able to feel it first and foremost in our body. We'll be able to feel it in our mind. We will now begin to see it in our actions. The things that would normally irritate us won't irritate us as much. If you're being easily irritated and you're being frustrated, agitated, then you might just need rest. You might just need rest. And something else just dropped in my spirit, and I hear this as clear as day saying, don't allow people, places, or things to steal your rest. And that could be, and as I say that, I can hear some, you know, that could be your peace. But don't allow people, places, or things to steal your rest. You have to have your rest. And we allow people to steal those things. We allow people to steal our rest, our peace, our joy. And if you're in situations or circumstances that's stealing those things from you, then it's time for you to look at those situations and begin to make some changes. Because you cannot function to your maximum capacity when you are not rested, when you are not at peace. And some of us stay in situations longer than we should, and it stole our peace. It stole our rest. We can't rest. Some of us is tossing and turning all night long because we worried about if we answer the email, or, oh my God, did I order that, or did I do this? So we're tossing and turning all night. We're not even getting our rest. Though we're laying in the bed, our eyes is closed, but yet still our mind never shut down. Our mind never stopped. So we're sleeping and we're still thinking about what we should have did, what we could have did, what we need to do, and that's not good. Our bodies are saying enough. And as you get older, it may not affect you when you're young. You know, young people might could do that. They got a little, you know, they got a little bit more miles to go through. They may be able to do that. But as you start getting older and you get to my age, it's important. You don't want to do that because you don't want the effects of what that doing that will do. So you don't want to do that. You want to get to a point where you know how to shut it down, where you know how to be still before the Lord, where you know how to just be in his presence, be okay with being still in his presence. Be okay with just being still and praying. You ain't got to always just be praying for something. You know, because some people spend most of their time praying for stuff they need and that they want. Be okay praying for somebody else. You know, be okay praying. You know, be okay just being thankful. A prayer of thanksgiving. And be okay reflecting in his word. It might be, it's not that you got to read a chapter. It's not that, you know, I think some people say, well, yeah, I'm reading a chapter a day, or I'm reading, you know, I'm reading a book, or, you know, I'm reading this book. And I don't think there's a particular way that you have to reflect on God's word. I think you can read a scripture and then just meditate on that scripture. What does it mean to you? What does it say to you? You know? No, it's no set. I don't think it's a set platform that you have to do. You go into his word and let the Holy Spirit just guide you. You know, Holy Spirit, that's what I do when I read the word of God. Unless I'm looking for something specific, I'm just going to read. I just say, Father God, what is it that you want me to know today? Where do you want me to go in your word? What do I need to hear? And I guarantee you, every time I do that, he takes me exactly to a scripture. He takes me exactly to a chapter that he need me to read. And it ain't always a feel good, because a lot of times where he's taking me to is somewhere that I have to read for correction, for reproof. You know, so it ain't always, oh, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be blessed coming in and going out. And, oh, it's not always that. Sometimes it's talking to me about my attitude. Sometimes it's talking to me about how the abundance of my heart, my mouth will speak. And I might have just said something ugly to somebody. And then that scripture comes up, woo, you know, and then I'm convicted. And then that conviction gives me the ability and the opportunity to repent and get it right. So it ain't going to always be feel good. And a lot of times we're just looking for the feel good. But see, God, you know, he wouldn't be God if he didn't bless and curse. He wouldn't be God if he could not correct. You know, we want this God that's just blessing, blessing, blessing. But see, we don't want to hear about the curses. We don't want to hear about the consequences of our disobedience. But it's, you know, I'm glad that God chastens me. That tells me he loves me and he wants me to get it right. So I don't mind him correcting me. I don't mind having opportunities. I always want opportunities to be able to repent when I'm out of order. So to reflect it. And then not just reflecting on that, but reflecting on God's goodness. You know, remembering, especially when you're in a hard place. See, if I'm in a hard place, I want to remember what he did before. You know, I want to remember the last time I was in a hard place, he took me here. The last time I was in a hard place, he took me there. The last time I was in a hard place, he delivered me. And so I like to reflect on those times because they help me in the current time. So when I'm going through something now, even when I feel hopeless, even when I feel like there's no way out, I can reflect back on what he did before. And that gives me hope. That gives me hope that if God did it then, he could do it now. So first and foremost, I know he's capable of doing it. I guess the big concern would be like, okay, Lord, when you going to do it? We know you're capable of doing it, God, but are you going to do it? And we know he's going to do it because he loves us. He may not do it the way we want him to do it. You know, it may not manifest the way we think it's supposed to manifest, but we know that he's going to manifest. Because why? Because his word tells us that he's working all things, not some things, but he's working all things together for our good. Why? Because we love him and we're called according to his purpose. Because I love God and I'm called according to God's purpose. Why? Because he chose me from the foundation of the earth. He chose me. I didn't choose him. And so because he chose me and I love him, then he's working everything together for my good. So even what the enemy meant for bad, God is working for my good. Even when it looked like it's storming, guess what? There's always going to be sunshine. So as long as I know that, as long as I hold on to that, as long as you hold on to that, then we know that God is going to work through whatever situations we're going through. It's the period of between going through and getting through. It's that in-between time that's the most nerve-wracking for all of us. That's the part that just gets to us because most of the time we don't have the patience. We don't have the patience. We don't have the vision, the insight, you know, to see how this is going to turn out, you know, how it's going to turn out. So it's that in-between time. But, honey, if you can hold on in the in-between time, I guarantee you the end time is coming. All storms don't last forever. Storms do not last forever. They come and they go. They come and they go. In the natural, they're seasonal. There are certain seasons, you know, that the storms are going to come. You might want to just take a look at your life and look at it. And just know, you might even notice that there's a season for your storm. You might notice that you go through certain things at certain times. And you just notice that. You might notice that. Start looking and paying attention to that kind of stuff. Because maybe it's more that God is trying to show you, even in the storm. But just start paying attention. Man, I remember around this time last year, you know, I was doing this or I was doing that. And if you can see that there is some correlation there, you might start finding ways that or things that you could do to avoid the next storm being as bad as you thought the last storm was. You could start preparing, you know, the preparation. There's preparation. We know, you know, certain regions have a tornado season. And the people that live there, that have been there for years, they know when those seasons come. They might have storms, ice storms. When I lived in Oklahoma, they used to have ice storms. And the native Oklahomans, they knew. They knew the season. They would start putting sandbags in their trucks. And, you know, they would start putting certain things, getting their cars prepared. They would bring out, you know, their winter jackets. It was certain preparation that they would do getting ready for the storm. So it didn't stop the storm for coming. Ooh, Jesus. It didn't stop the storms from coming. But they were more prepared for the storms once they got there. And that's the same way in life. Storms are not going to stop coming in our lives. As long as we're living, there's going to be some type of adversity. You know, as long as we're living, we're going to be going through something or coming out of something or getting ready to go into something. They're not going to stop. But the goal is can we be prepared? Can we be prepared for the next storm? Can we anticipate? We may not know what it's going to be. We may not know when it's going to come, but we know it's going to come. So there is a preparation. Coach D, what do you mean? What's the preparation? The preparation is start preparing. Why am I, how am I prepared? First of all, preparing by making sure that I'm standing on the word of God. making sure that I know the word of God, making sure I know that the God that I serve is able. And sometimes we act like God ain't able. But you got to make sure that you know that this God that I'm serving is able. He's able to meet this need. He's able to do abundantly above all we could think or ask. He's exceedingly abundantly above all we could think or ask. We got to know that this God is able. And then once we know he's able, we got to trust that and believe that. That's faith. I have faith that God is able. And then the next thing is knowing that, is he willing? And how do I know that if God's willing? Because I'm going to go in God's word. And if it lines up with, if what I'm desiring or I'm praying for God to do for me line up with God's word and God's promises to me, as I be obedient, you remember Deuteronomy, as I'm obedient, if I hearken diligently, listen closely, and obey, these are the blessings that will overtake me. So if I'm being obedient, and I'm believing God for something, and I go to the word of God, and God from the word of God said, oh, yeah, he's going to bless my, you know, I'm going to be the lender and not the borrower. Okay, Lord, I'm being obedient. You said I'm going to be the lender and not the borrower. Okay, then that means that I'm not going to be, I cannot be having no financial issues. Because why? Because his word said that. And what was the conditions of me that manifested for me is hearken diligently and obey. Hearken diligently and obey. That was the conditions, right? So we're going to start knowing because you want to know what the word of God says. So why? When the storm comes, now I know I'm prepared. So the storm comes, now I know, okay, God said that he would never leave me nor forsake me. So he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Yes, this storm is coming. And don't think for 1 minute ain't going to hurt. Don't think for 1 moment that you might not feel a certain kind of way. Don't think for 1 moment that you might not get tired, that you may not get weak. See, we do get weak. And this illusion that believers, Christians don't get weak, that Christians don't get tired, that Christians don't, you know, it's not true. We do. We're in flesh. We do get tired. We do get weary. We do get weak. Even it told us in his word. Don't get weary in well doing. He said that if you don't get you'll reap if you don't faint. He wouldn't have to tell us that if that's not something he know we're going through. He know we're going through that. That's why in his word he tells us that. That's why he tells us we're more than conquerors. Because he needs us to know that. He needs us to know that we could do all things. Because he know that we're thinking, I can't do nothing right now. I'm tired. I don't want to go through this no more, Lord. I don't want to do this. I'm about ready to snap. He knows that. So his word is to refresh us. His word is to remind us. His word is to establish us. That we know that we serve a God that's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could think or ask. That we serve that God and he's there and he knows we're tired. And he know we could get weary, but he said, it's like a coach. If you read the word of God, he said, come on, you can do it. Don't stop. Don't quit. You can do it. Don't give up. You're just a few steps away. Don't die. You know, put the noose down. Don't hang yourself. Don't do it. It's just an illusion. It's going to pass. That's what he do. That's what his word do for us. You can do it. Keep going. And that's why we need to know his word. That's our preparation because the storm is going to come. But we want to be prepared. We are prepared. We're the righteousness of Christ. We're prepared. So when the storm comes, we know it's just a storm. Yes, and once it leaves, you can brush yourself off. And guess what? Rest. You can rest. Rest and wait for God to do what he's going to do. Rest in the eye of the storm. Father God, we just thank you on tonight. We thank you for your word. Father God, I thank you for the spirit of rest. Lord, I pray that each and every person that's listening in on tonight, Father God, that they will embrace the spirit of rest. Father, that we will learn how to start resting, not just resting, but resting in you, Father God. Father God, that we will begin to just take time in your presence and in prayer and reflecting on your word. Father God, that we would keep your day, your holy day, your Sabbath day holy, Father God. Father God, that we would set it aside. Lord, you know the hearts of your people. You know that some people are forced to work and that they have to work, Father God, to survive. But, Father God, I pray that you will just give them the ability to be able to rest anyway, Father. Father God, that you will open up doors of opportunity so that they will begin to be able to take those days, that day, and set it aside, Father God, to rest in you. Father God, I pray that you will restore our bodies and our minds, Lord. Father, we rebuke and bind the attacks that have taken place either through our relationships, Father God, through our employment. Whatever those areas are, Father God, that we've been attacked in, Father God, we just pray, Father, that an opportunity will open up, Lord, that things will begin to turn around, Father God. Father God, that if you won't move the mountain, Father, that you will give us the strength to climb over it, Father, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we just thank you. We give you the honor and the glory and the praise. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray. We pray. Amen. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that it just really gave you an unction to just really want to rest. I know I want to rest. I know I need the rest. And I just pray that it's giving you a spirit where you'll just start embracing rest, you know, that you won't become like Martha, you know, busybody, and that you would just learn how to rest and be still in his presence and be undistracted. Know that you are loved and appreciated. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving, and Processing the Pain will not be airing on next Thursday. There will be a link if you want to listen to a pre-recorded show. You will be able to do that. You won't be able to do it in the studio because the studio will be closed for Thanksgiving. But you will be able to listen to it either through your phone or on the internet for the pre-recorded show on Thanksgiving Day. Know that you are loved and appreciated, and I will see you the last Thursday of November. We will be back and airing. So I will see you on that Thursday. Have a good night.
I surrender.